This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the ever-changing world of technology? Tech It Out can help make some sense of it all. Breaking down geek speak into street speak, technology columnist, author, and TV personality Mark Saltzman covers consumer technology each week for every listener. Mark tackles the latest news, reviews, and how-tos to help you understand what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech It Out, episode 102. Hope you're having a great weekend so far on this last weekend of June. And with 4th of July coming up next week, maybe you're planning a road trip. Well, I hope you make the most of it, whatever you do. Well, we have a fantastic Tech It Out plan for you this hour. We're going to speak with Netflix in a minute to learn about its recommended TVs for 2019 and what criteria they use to choose those. We're going to talk with Exter about its smart wallets. Yes, smart wallets. We'll learn what that's all about. Schlage will stop by to talk home security and high-tech door locks. And we'll talk with ExpressVPN about why you should not browse the web without a VPN. All right, let's kick things off. Hey, who doesn't love Netflix? While you may be well aware of the popular video streaming service, you might not know as much about Netflix recommended TVs. It's a logo program the company launched in 2015 to recognize smart TVs that provide a superior experience for Netflix and for other internet TV content in general. Joining us to talk 2019 recommended TVs, we've got Brady Gunderson. He is the director of partner product at Netflix. He's on the line. Welcome to the show, Brady.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for carving out some time to chat. I know this is a busy time for Netflix. Before we talk about the Netflix-enabled or recommended TVs to watch Netflix, tell us, what do you think makes Netflix such a popular video streaming service?
Yeah, great question. I think it's the combination of great content that's we have something for everyone. There's always something new on the service. And then a product that helps connect people with that content in a really easy to use, it just works, I don't have to think about it kind of way.
Yeah, it is pretty magical. It works on several devices. You just log on and remembers where you left off. I love the recommended content. I mean, it's just so convenient. What would you say, Brady, is your favorite feature of Netflix overall?
My favorite feature is probably profiles, because a little bit to the comments you made around the power of recommendations, the best way for that to happen is to happen in the context of your profile. So at my household, there's 5 of us. There's me, my wife, 3 kids. We all like each other, but we don't necessarily like the same content. And so in order for me to get those great recommendations, to learn about something new, it's important that I'm watching on my profile, not my kids, and vice versa. So for me, profile seems simple, seems boring, but that's what makes personalization so great.
That's very true. So I'm a fan of horror and sci-fi flicks and TV shows. And so just this morning, Brady, I got an email from Netflix saying, hey, Mark, we just launched something new that you might like. You know, obviously based on my profile, out of our family of 5, You know, so I really like that. It's a really great way to keep that service so sticky. So let's now chat about Netflix's 2019 recommended TVs that was announced last week. Do these all have an integrated Netflix app? And how do you determine what are the best TVs to watch Netflix?
So anytime you see Netflix on a device, it means that there's an integrated Netflix app. It means we have a partnership with that device maker, and it means we've gone through a bunch of testing and certification to make sure that this device works well enough that we're comfortable saying it has Netflix and having them put Netflix on the box. Mm-hmm. Netflix recommended TV is kind of a higher bar. You could think of it as extra credit. These are things that meet an additional set of criteria or performance thresholds, basically to say they work better across a number of things that we know to be important for Netflix users, but are not something we could necessarily require of all devices that have
right.
Netflix.
My readers will write me saying, hey, I have an older smart TV, and if I try to watch Netflix or maybe YouTube, it stutters quite a bit. So I often say, well, then just go ahead and buy an inexpensive streaming stick or other kind of media player, like a Roku or a Fire TV stick or Apple TV, something like that. But I think the newer TVs can handle streaming a lot better. They have a better Wi-Fi technology in these TVs. So what then elevates it to the next level to be, you know, a truly recommended TV by Netflix? What are some of the criteria that you look at? I think there's several different ones, right?
Yeah, so over the years, we've evolved the criteria to basically reflect things that we know would make a superior experience based on what technology and devices are capable of in any given year. At the beginning, when we started the program, that was a lot about just making sure that a smart TV was actually smart. You go and buy a TV, it had an amazing picture quality, it was a not low price point, it would come from a loved and trusted brand, but the actual kind of internet TV experience felt sort of bolted on. Mm-hmm. And what that meant is if you bought a TV and wanted to use it for internet TV, which a lot of people did, the getting to apps that you use like Netflix could take over a minute. It would take about 20 seconds for the Wi-Fi to boot up, maybe another 20 seconds to figure out how to get to an app menu or internet TV menu. And then in order for that app to launch, that streaming service to launch, it would take another several seconds still. And so for the first couple of years, it was about making Netflix feel really integrated so that you're getting all the benefits of live TV, which is really just that it comes on instantly, along with all the benefits we talked about earlier, that it's a personalized experience, watch on your schedule, a richer user interface, and all that kind of stuff. More recently, we continue to focus on those dimensions of performance and reliability, but also think about how as the Netflix is making more and more new content, we're trying to make sure that we're coming up with compelling ways for people to discover whether content is the right piece of content for them. And so that in order to do that, our user interface is getting much more oriented around showing video in the UI and making sure that that's a really seamless experience and a really crisp experience. Mm-hmm. Going forward, we'll be exploring more around interactive content, and that's something that we'll have an eye on. So it's really thinking about where our product can go and making sure that the device is sort of future-proof to address those things in the future so that your device works well, just as well 2 years later as the day you bought it.
Speaking of interactive content, I love the Black Mirror Bandersnatch episode where you can, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure kind of thing. So that was fantastic on Netflix a couple of months back, and a couple of new Black Mirror episodes just dropped for season 5 on Netflix as well. Not as many as I had hoped, only 3. So I'm hoping Netflix is going to deliver a few more. We're chatting with Brady Gunderson. He's the director of partner product at Netflix. We're talking about the 2019 recommended TVs, these recommended televisions to really deliver a superior Netflix experience. You know, as silly as it sounds, a little thing like having a Netflix button on the TV remote, I think goes a long way, especially for like my mom, for example. I recently bought my parents a smart TV, and she loves that there is a dedicated hardware button on the remote that says Netflix with the logo she knows, and that is a quick, easy way to access her content. Does that fall anywhere in the 7 criteria of like the remote? I know UI or user interface is part of it.
Yeah, so one of our principles is around easy access, and as you mentioned, the button is a great way to do that when you know you want to watch Netflix.
Right.
Sometimes people want to turn on the TV, poke around for a while and figure out what they want. Maybe it's Netflix, maybe it's something else, but if you know that's what you want, then you can press that even when the device is off, and it'll go straight to Netflix and you get started as easy as possible. So that's one of the criteria because it enables that accessibility piece.
Before I ask you to recommend a couple of TVs by brand, tell us a bit more about the inclusion of the Always Fresh feature.
Yeah, so that's one of the new features for 2019. And the basic thinking behind it is there are two things that we know are valuable, but they kind of come with a bit of a trade-off. One is we know people want things to work as quick as possible. That's not a surprise. And then we also know that as Netflix is introducing more and more new content and sometimes new features, that your experience would actually be different from one day to the next. But updating that user experience, especially if you have multiple profiles in the household, that can come with a wait time. Mm-hmm. Always Fresh is designed to remove that trade-off between waiting and the trade-off between getting something instant and getting something that's refreshed. And so it does the refreshing in the background so that by the time you're using Netflix, there's no waiting and you're still getting the latest, greatest. This is something that we actually tested before making one of the criteria. Anything we do requires an investment from us, but also from the partner. And so what we did, instead of just rolling out the feature, we initially gave it to half the people on a device and didn't give it to the other half of the people to run what we call an A-B test. And in doing that, we were trying to answer two questions. One is, did it have the expected performance benefit, which we thought it would, but you never know. And then secondly, and maybe more interestingly, is did people care? Sometimes something is good enough and making it better doesn't make a difference. Yeah. And so we wanted to answer that question as well. We tested it, and we actually found out that, A, it had the expected performance benefit. Not a shocker, but good to know. But more interestingly, that actually people watched more content when that Always Fresh feature was enabled. So that gave us the confidence that it was something to make a criteria.
Yeah, thanks for peeling back the curtain a little bit and telling us how you test and iterate on new features that are to be introduced. Again, we're chatting with Brady from Netflix. Now, without further ado, for those who aren't driving and listening to this program or podcast, and they want to jot down some recommended TVs, can you give us a couple that bubbled to the top of the list?
Yeah, so the designations so far for 2019 are devices that come from three brands. We don't know what they are at the beginning of the year or when we do the testing. It's an independent evaluation program, so we're never really sure until we've tested. But now that we've done the testing, it's devices from Samsung, Sony, and Panasonic that achieved the designation for Netflix Recommended TV 2019. And there's a more detailed list that you can go to by going to netflix.com/recommendedTV.
Okay, yeah, because I know there's certain models, of course, for each of those three brands. So netflix.com/recommendedTV, not TVs with an S, but TV, that's it, recommended TV. And then you could see a detailed list of the recommended televisions by Netflix in 2019.
You got it. And that list is actually localized per region. So if you're in one country or a different country, you'll see the available models in that country.
Cool. Great. Brady Gunderson, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great summer.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
This show, Tech It Out, is powered by ASUS. Thank you for your support. ASUS creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life. Visit asus.com/US/radio for more info. We'll be right back with more Tech It Out. Stay with us. You're listening to the Radio America Network.
Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want. Find the Tech It Out podcast at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the market for an innovative laptop, the ASUS ZenBook 14 model UX433 is an elegant laptop featuring a stunning nano-edge display with a 92% screen-to-body ratio. With its ErgoLift design, the back of the keyboard is slightly lifted for greater comfort and efficient cooling. Other features include a number pad, fast Intel Core i7 processor. Powered by Windows 10 Home, you can sign in fast, secure, and password-free with Windows Hello and the ZenBook's HD camera. Tech It Out is brought to you by ASUS.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully, carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
Medal of Honor recipient Staff Sergeant Ryan Pitts of the 173rd Airborne Brigade speaks about the moment when the medevac landed to take him and other casualties to safety after a long battle in Afghanistan.
Medevac bird just comes in and lands right between us and the enemy. And, you know, guys are just pouring up from the vehicle patrol base to come, you know, take care of our casualties and reinforce the observation post.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice of American veterans. To hear more, like us on Facebook.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 0707. Enjoy!
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back to Tech It Out. You've heard of smartphones, smart homes, smart watches, and so on. But what about a smart wallet? Well, one company has been selling them for a couple of years now, called the Exter Smart Wallet. That's E-K-S-T-E-R. And now they've got a new one to share with us. Joining us on the line all the way from Amsterdam in the Netherlands is Oliver Mama. He is the founder of Exter. Welcome, Oliver.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Now, before we talk about Exter 3.0, please tell us about your smart wallets as a whole. What do they do exactly?
So we have a collection of products, some of which are our smart wallets. These wallets are known for their trackability feature. So whenever you lose your wallet, you're able to track it with your iPhone or whatever phone you use. You're able to call it, you're able to locate it on a map, and it has a couple of other cool features, which we'll talk about later.
Right, and I know you're launching this Exter 3.0 right now, but the premise behind your smart wallets, or what makes them smart, rather, is a couple of things, one of which is that you're able to track it should you lose it. Does it use GPS? Is it Bluetooth, so it has to be near you? How exactly can you find it on a map or nearby?
I think the best way to explain it is it's a worldwide lost and found system. So when it's close, when it's in the range of about 200 feet, you can directly track it with your phone through Bluetooth. However, if it's outside of that range, then you can use the worldwide crowd GPS lost and found system to use other people on the network to find it and locate it on the map.
All right, I got it. And obviously, it's battery operated if it's emitting some sort of signal. So how long could that last? Like, let's say your wallet was lost and nobody has charged it up again, presuming they don't know it's a smart wallet. What's your window of time here?
So the tracker is actually solar powered. It doesn't require any direct charging through cables or batteries. And the nice thing about the solar panel is that it's so efficient that it only requires about 2 hours of charge to last 3 months. We're still testing it, and we haven't charged it for over 4 months now. So the battery lasts ages, and it doesn't need direct sunlight. So it can actually be fast, like supercharged with your flashlight from your phone.
Wow. Okay. Now, because it has GPS, Bluetooth, a solar panel, and an integrated battery in order to store that energy, are we talking about a massive wallet here? Does it look like George Costanza's from Seinfeld? I'm not sure if you're familiar with Seinfeld. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's actually the other cool part about this wallet. So we really try to approach it in a way that we wanted to modernize the way that people use the products in their pockets. So we started with looking at the wallet as a whole. How do we minimize the footprint of this thing? Like, how do you get it as small as possible? And how do you access your cards as quickly as possible in such a slim wallet? So what we did is we took out all the unnecessary layers, made it as slim as possible, and integrated a system where you only have to click one button to access your 6 most important cards.
Cool. So it's not massive. It's not bigger than any other wallet.
No. It's actually super slim, and that's the power of this product.
And I'm assuming it's durable enough that if it's in your back pocket, if you're a guy, you've got it in the back of your jeans, you sit down somewhere, it's not going to damage any of the smarts to it.
No. So the core of the wallet is actually an aluminum casing, or aluminum, as you guys would say. it can withstand any weight, so it does hold up.
Awesome, Oliver. Okay, now let's talk about Exter 3.0. What makes this new one unique?
Yeah, so to quickly dive into the features again, as you know now, the wallet is traceable. We've added a cool feature which allows you to voice command your wallet and actually find it through Alexa, Siri, or Google Home. So you no longer even have to get off the couch to find your wallet. It's pretty simple.
Walk us through what that would sound like. Like, what would you do? You notice your wallet is gone. You're looking around the house. So what do you say?
And then you literally just say, Alexa, ring my Exter, or Alexa, ring my wallet, depending on how you put the settings in.
Right. Wow. And then it does emit a sound from the wallet.
It emits a ringing sound, and it also allows you to locate it on the map on your phone.
Wow, very cool. Even indoors, the map.
Indoors, exactly.
Okay, so it has all the features as its predecessors, but now you've added voice support.
Yeah, so that's one of the cool features. So we've actually expanded the collection to about 7 more colors, a new Italian collection, and we've significantly improved the cardholder system, which allows you to even have quicker access to your cards. The cards pop out further, and the overall wallet is streamlined and slimmer.
Is this a crowdfunded campaign like Kickstarter? Is that how you're raising money?
So the crowdfunding has actually already been completed. We are currently selling on our website, Exter.com. And we're also available in stores. So we're available at Macy's, Hudson Yards, a couple cool stores in L.A., New York. So we're all over the country.
Before I ask you about pricing, what's your favorite feature of the wallet?
I think at the moment, it's quite a hilarious feature, but we've added this small thing to the tracker where you allow it to work as a remote control for group selfies. So you can literally place your phone away quite far from a group and use the tracker as a remote.
Wait, you press that button on the wallet in order to take a picture?
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. Just literally place it as far as you want, and you can get the whole group in the photo.
That's great. All right, how much does Exter 3.0 cost?
So it ranges, actually. So we have a couple of different models. It ranges between $60 and $109 at the moment. Available both on the website and on Amazon.
And that's U.S. dollars?
Yeah.
And again, what's the website for Exter?
It's Exter.com. So it's EKSTER.com.
All right, Oliver Mama, congratulations. This sounds really great. I'd love to see it in person one day. Thanks for your time.
Thank you too, Mark. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back with more Tech It Out.
Want to follow Mark? Google him. Mark with a C and Saltzman with a Z.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. This is Tech It Out. Tech It Out with technology columnist, author, and TV personality, Mark Saltzman.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tech It Out. Hope you're having a great start to the summer weekend. Smart home tech is super hot. But why do you think that is? According to Lee Odess, vice president at Schlage, consumers want simplified solutions that are affordable, versatile, and compatible with the likes of Amazon and Google. Lee is joining us on the line now to tell us about Schlage, the smart lock and door hardware brand that you know. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hi, thank you very much.
Sure. So why don't we start with you giving us a bit of background on Schlage. I understand the company is going to celebrate its 100th birthday next year. Is that right?
We are. Yes, we're very excited. So close to 100 years of technology and manufacturing and pretty excited about it, yes.
So you started off essentially creating, locks and deadbolts for doors for residences and businesses, and then you've sort of evolved from there.
Yes, we have.
All right, so let's talk about smart home products. I don't know if people associate Schlage with some of the more high-tech solutions you've got. So what does Schlage have for 2019?
Sure. So for Schlage, we have a bunch of different products, depending on styles and finishes and the different door type that you might have. But something new and exciting that we recently launched is the Schlage Encode Smart Wi-Fi Deadbolt. And just like it sounds, it's a Wi-Fi deadbolt. And what's great about that is that you don't need an extra adapter or box for that. It just connects right up to the Wi-Fi that you have in your house, and you can have all the same benefits and features that you do are looking for. Things like sending keys and notifications and understanding who's come and gone from the house, as well as you can integrate it, and it's compatible with things like Key by Amazon and Ring. Or you can work it directly with the app that Schlage has itself. So pretty straightforward. On that end, we also have, again, depending on what your flavor is, we have like the Schlage's Sense Lock, which works with HomeKit. We also have one that is the Schlage Connect, which that works with most of the Zigbee and Z-Wave type certified products that are in the marketplace. Or if you're looking for just a straightforward connected keypad, we have that product as well. So as you can see, full breadth and depth of products, depending on what the use case is that you have.
All right, so going back to the Wi-Fi deadbolt, so the three benefits there, the three primary benefits are that you don't need a mechanical key to enter your door. I guess it identifies you with something you've got on you, like a smartphone or some other identifier. Is that right?
It does utilize the phone, yes.
Okay. And then the second advantage is the ability to send an e-key, a virtual key, to a friend who maybe says, hey, Lee, I'm by your place. Can I come into your house to use your bathroom? Or Amazon calls you and says, we're a courier. We're at your door. And you can see through your Ring video doorbell that it is, in fact, an Amazon driver. So you let them in remotely. And then the third benefit is having on the app, I guess, a detailed look at who has opened the door based on their device. So you can see that your teenage son opened it at 7 p.m. and then maybe your partner opened it at 9 p.m. That's all documented. Is that right?
It is, yeah. So notifications is a somewhat underappreciated but overly used, if you would, benefit of a smart lock. Just having the awareness of who's come and gone and who is at your door, and it's definitely a great benefit of the products.
As a father of three teenagers, I welcome this technology. So you've got other solutions as well, but I think the obvious question is, okay, what happens if the Wi-Fi goes down? There is an option for a mechanical key that you may have in your vehicle or in your wallet or something. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So redundancy is there. So not only is the Wi-Fi down, you can use a key, but there's also a keypad on it. So if you don't have a key, you can get in. So there's multiple ways that you can access the door, depending on what you're looking for too. If you say go for a run and you don't have your phone on you, you can come to the door and use the keypad to get in. And when all fails, if you want, you can use the old key that still works there, yes.
Mm-hmm. What if hypothetically, your phone is lost, and even though the odds are so slim that someone would not only find it, like, or steal it, and then actually go to your residence, is there a way that you can prevent someone from entering your home if you lost your phone?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways. So first off, we recommend the multi-factor authentication, they call it. So the ability to use your thumbprint when you go to the app, and some of the other features that you do anyways now, right? So you have those. You also can go into, say you were to lose your phone, you can log in online and you can change things so that if somebody did have it, you would know that, or you could turn it off, that they would have the ability to do that. So there's preventative ways to protecting you that actually are far, I would say, more advanced than what happens if you lose your keys now.
Yeah,
the old analog
true.
Ones, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Right. So with this, you have a little bit more control.
We're chatting with Lee Odess. He's a VP at Schlage. That's Schlage. You know the brand. And how long have you been in this space? And what is your best-selling product?
So we've been in smart home for a long time. We were pioneering early on. Don't know the exact year, but it's got to be it's 10 plus years. Because keep in mind, we're part of a much larger organization called Allegion that owns 30-some brands all over the world, both in the commercial and consumer side. So we've been doing this for a very long time. On the side of our most best-selling lock that we have, it really depends. If you look at the Connect lock, that's very popular because of the Z-Wave Zigbee, but then the Sense lock's been great for us as well from the HomeKit side. So the good part of our business is we've been quite successful with the adoption of the smart locks, and it really comes down to what you're looking for, and we're happy to have all the different flavors.
If someone asked you what the key differences would be between your product lineup and the August or the Kivo brand of smart locks, what would you say?
Sure. I would start with the legacy of the organization. You know, born out of the old mechanical business, so we understand the security and safety side, sort of that brand promise that you get from us that we've been around for, like you said, close to 100 years at this point. So it's not necessarily a gadget company. We are a safety security company. We're securing people where they live, they work, and they thrive. And on top of that, we layer in the technology side. So I would say it's the mindfulness of the product. And really, you get what we've been delivering to you for 100 years, which is a very, very good product that you can count on. Also that breath that I talked about. So as you, say you start off in an apartment and you move into your own home, you could take that brand with you. We have different products and that fit all those different verticals and you become, I would say, you know, you don't want to necessarily put something on the front of your house that you have to worry about. And with ours, you don't have to.
Great. Lee, where can we learn more about this product lineup?
If you go to our website, it's typically the best place, and it's Schlage, Schlage.com.
All right, Lee, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. Have a great summer.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back shortly with more Tech It Out when we speak with ExpressVPN. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Tech It Out on the Radio America Network.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. Tech It Out, hosted by Mark Saltzman.
Gamers, listen up. If you want a laptop with no trade-offs, one that's packed with power yet still portable, check out the ROG Zephyrus SGX701 from Asus. Up your game with this 17-inch laptop squeezed into a 15-inch body. Under the hood, it has the latest NVIDIA GeForce RTX 2080, 8th-gen Intel Core i7, SSD storage up to a terabyte, and runs Windows 10 Pro. Learn more at Asus.com. Tech It Out is powered by Asus for those in search of incredible.
Weird, boxy, funky, fun, iconic. You can call the Kia Soul a lot of things, but you can never call it boring. And now, with a wide variety of newly adapted trims, it's time to expand your vocabulary. The adventure-hungry Urban Explorer Soul X-Line, the stylish, tech-savvy Soul EX, and the relentlessly athletic, turbocharged Soul GT Line Turbo. The new species of Soul, the 2020 Soul. Give it everything.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Prime free one-day delivery is available on more than 10 million products from Amazon coast to coast. Amazon continues to expand both the one-day delivery areas and selection to ensure Prime members receive products faster than ever. One-day delivery is now available to Prime members with no minimum purchase amount for products from Echo devices and headphones to household items and cleaning supplies. Julie Law, Amazon spokesperson.
We obsess over making Prime members' lives easier and more fun. In fact, the most popular one-day items range from books, beauty, and baby wipes to dish detergent and even doggy bags. Prime Free one-day delivery is possible because we've been building our network for over 20 years, enabling us to create a world-class customer experience powered by incredible employees and great technology.
That means last-minute birthday presents, sunscreen, beach towels for an impromptu getaway, as well as closet organizers and patio decor, all delivered the very next day for free. For more, visit Amazon.com/Prime.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
What's in store this week at Staples?
Savings, boxed up and ready to move.
If you're on the move, make sure your first stop is Staples.
Because right now, when you spend $50 or more on moving supplies at Staples, you save $10.
Staples has everything to get you from here to there, like boxes, bubble roll, and packing tape.
So before you go anywhere, stop at Staples for big savings on moving supplies.
Staples.
Where there's a whole lot in store. And 629-19. In store only. Exclusions apply. See associate for details.
Welcome back to Tech It Out, which is powered by ASUS, the title sponsor on this program, creating technology for today and tomorrow's smart life. Visit asus.com/US/radio for more info. That's asus.com/US/radio for those in search of incredible. How private is your web browsing session? Not very. In fact, even if you opt for your browser's private browsing mode or incognito mode or whatever it's called, yes, it can scrub your history and passwords and such, but your online activity is still visible and saved and could be possibly shared or sold. To truly remain anonymous while you browse, you should opt for what's called a VPN or virtual private network. Joining us on the line to discuss is Harold Lee from ExpressVPN. Welcome, Harold, to the show, and thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Sure. So let's start right from the top. What is a VPN or a virtual private network exactly?
Sure. A VPN is an important tool for protecting your privacy and security online. And I think there's really two key ways that it helps, you know, the average computer user. One is that it channels all your internet traffic through a secure encrypted tunnel, which means that other people who might have access to the network, such as your internet provider or other people who are sharing the same public Wi-Fi as you,
right.
It prevents them from being able to see what you're doing online. And also because the secure internet traffic goes through a tunnel that goes through one of a VPN servers, previously your traffic, which appeared to be coming from your IP address, is now coming from the VPN server's IP address. So it's harder for people to trace that internet traffic online back to you because right. It doesn't look like it's coming from your IP address anymore.
Okay, so a VPN, generally speaking, can mask your online identity and let you browse the web anonymously. But some may say, well, why do I need that? You know, why do I care if my ISP, my internet service provider, sees where I'm going online or Facebook or what have you? What's the appeal of remaining anonymous if you're not doing anything wrong, for example?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think it's one of the core tenets that we believe at ExpressVPN is that your privacy is a fundamental right. You don't have to be doing something wrong or have something to hide
right.
In order to want to, you know, not have your internet provider see your entire browsing history or not want people on the same Wi-Fi network to be able to do that. So, you know, I think part of it is privacy and part of it is security. There are things we handle online, you know, today that are very sensitive, whether it's financial transactions or medical information. And, you know, when you're not properly encrypting the connection, whether it's through a VPN or with HTTPS, that information can be vulnerable to hackers and to mm-hmm. internet providers and to spies.
Yeah, great point, Harold. Thank you. We're chatting with Harold Lee, Vice President of ExpressVPN. So with that in mind then, Harold, what makes ExpressVPN unique? Because, of course, there are many other VPN solutions out there.
That's a great question. You know, there are a lot of things that we at ExpressVPN do to kind of step up the game in terms of how we protect your privacy and security. So I don't want to go through every single one of them because it's quite a long list, but there are a few things I think that stand out when you use ExpressVPN. One is that we just have a higher level of leak proofing. So the risk of information traveling outside of the protected tunnel that the VPN provides is significantly improved.
Right.
So that there's less risk there. We have a very strict privacy policy on our end to ensure that we're never collecting any information about what you do online, what times you connect to the VPN service, for example. So even if someone were able to access our servers, seize them, hack into them, for example, they wouldn't be able to see what you're doing online. Mm. And another important aspect I would say is that we have 24/7 live chat customer service, and it's very rare among VPN companies. And we always think, you know, if a security tool is not easy to use, then people are not going to use it.
Right.
So it's very important to us that, you know, the app is super easy to use. You tap one button and you get connected. You don't need to think about it anymore. And if you ever run into any problems, we've got a team ready to help you out in seconds rather than, you know, emailing someone and waiting for hours or days to get connected and get secured.
Going back to your first point, I've experienced with some free VPNs out there that it may work initially to connect, and it gives you an IP address from somewhere else, say in the U.S. or another country. I've found that it has kicked me off of the VPN sort of mid-browsing session without me even knowing, and thus becoming exposed. And I noticed that with some of the free services out there, I guess you get what you pay for. So I'll ask you in a moment about how much ExpressVPN costs. But that has happened to me, I can tell you, anecdotally, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So you're saying that it's a lot more of a secure, solid, more reliable connection once you're in that, as you called it, tunnel, so you can browse anonymously.
Absolutely. So not only is the connection itself more secure, also when you are disconnected, our apps on desktops will actually cut off all of your network activity to ensure that no information is traveling without the VPN, without your knowledge. And you'll have to go in and either, you know, actively decide to reconnect or actively decide to disconnect altogether before any network traffic gets through.
Speaking of desktops, is ExpressVPN strictly for Windows or Macs, or can you use it on mobile devices?
Yeah, you can actually use it on iOS devices, Android devices, in addition to Mac, Windows, and Linux. And we also have router support. You know, and router support is great and is also quite a rare feature among VPN providers, where you can just set it up on your router. You don't need to worry about it. Every time you're connected to the router or any of your family members are connected, you know that they're protected by the VPN.
We'll continue our chat with ExpressVPN after this short break. You're listening to Tech It Out. Stay with us.
Follow Mark Saltzman on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Listen to Tech It Out whenever you want.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeoplradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
We're chatting with Harold Lee, Vice President from ExpressVPN, about how to stay protected while browsing the web.
I wanted to mention that we actually have support for some other devices, which is not VPN support per se, but it's proxy support to help your streaming media devices connect to a different server in a different country, for example. So if you wanted to connect your Apple TV or your Xbox or PlayStation, Amazon Fire Stick to a different country to be able to access content that might not be able to be available in your country, you can do that as well with ExpressVPN.
And that's, of course, another popular application for VPNs is the ability to access content in another country. As if you were there, you just choose the IP address for the country you want to be from in order to access that content from that particular region. So I know a lot of people do
exactly.
that. For Canadians, for example, may want to access the U.S. version of Netflix, so they'll use a VPN. I've heard Netflix is starting to catch up on that and, you know, trying to prevent that for licensing purposes. But, you know, I'm sure it still can be done. Walk us through how it works. So you mentioned router support, so that implies that the VPN is always on. But for most people I know, they like to turn on the VPN and off when they don't want to, when they don't want to use it. So do you launch it? Do most people launch it before they open a browser window, or how does, like, walk us through the process?
Sure, absolutely. Well, it depends on everyone's use case. You know, some people who are a bit more conscious about their privacy and anonymity online might have it on all the time. Some people might just turn it on when they're on public Wi-Fi, like at an airport or at a Starbucks or something. Mm-hmm. So it depends on a person. And I think one of the great things about our router app is that most routers involve, you know, you going in and fiddling with some settings and having to download configuration files to set up a VPN. And ours is super simple. You go to the router's website, you click on and off, you can switch server locations, and it is easy to turn it on and off as you wish. You don't have to have it on all the time if you want. But, you know, if you're looking for better privacy and anonymity, I would suggest leaving it on all the time.
Some people say they can't access their Gmail and other accounts when they're using a VPN. So they use it for a specific task, like, say, downloading something. But they don't want to keep it on all the time because their email provider doesn't like it because it can't identify where they are and they think it might be fraudulent activity. Is there an easy workaround for that?
Sure. I would say the easy workaround is to use a reputable VPN provider that, you know, is conscious of that problem and is always working to address it. So I think most people will find that when they're using ExpressVPN, they shouldn't have trouble accessing any of the sites that they normally use.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that it would vary based on the VPN you use.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I think it comes down to that VPN provider's ability to identify those types of problems, to address them quickly, and to make sure that the user never sees that perhaps a certain server or a certain set of IP addresses has been blocked by a certain website.
Oh, cool. All right. Finally, Harold, how much does ExpressVPN cost, and where could we download it?
Sure, yeah. So everyone can go to expressvpn.com to download it and to learn more. And the cost is, if you pay by year, it's approximately $8 a month. And if you pay by the month, it's about $12 a month.
Okay, so there's a benefit for signing up for 12 months in advance. And for the mobile
Absolutely.
Versions, like iPhone and Android and iPad and stuff, is it an app?
Yes. So on Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android, it's an app that you can just download. And once you've downloaded it, you click one button to connect, and it's super simple. No need to fiddle with your network settings or configurations. We handle that all for you.
Okay. And once you have a license to use it, either by month or annually, is it just for one device, or can you use it on more than one device?
You can install on as many devices as you want, and you can connect to up to 5 devices at the same time.
Oh, cool. So if you have a laptop and a desktop, you only need to pay that $8
yeah.
a month per year, or it's $12 for month by month, and then you can install it on
Absolutely.
Several devices. Oh, cool. All right, Harold Lee, Vice President from ExpressVPN. I appreciate your time and your information, and I hope you have a great summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Again, the website, expressvpn.com. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this late June edition of Tech It Out. Next weekend will be a special long weekend, 4th of July version of the program with 3 or 4 other guests as well. And I do want to take some time on these final moments of the show to thank ASUS one last time. Thank you for your support as title sponsor on Tech It Out. I couldn't do the show without you. ASUS creates technology for today and tomorrow's smart life, including its line of award-winning laptops, desktops, monitors, smartphones, tablets, smartwatches, and much more. They also have a gaming division called ROG, or Republic of Gamers. For those in search of incredible, visit asus.com/us/radio for more info. That's asus.com/us tech.com/radio. If you want to reach out to me, I'm at tech@marksaltzman.com, tech@marksaltzman.com. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone. Speak to you next time on Tech It Out. Bye-bye for now.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Make things happen.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. President Trump is suggesting an impromptu meeting with North Korea's leader.
It started out on Twitter as President Trump was thinking about his meeting with South Korea's leader.
I just put out a feeler.
Reaching out to Chairman Kim Jong-un, saying if he sees the tweet, meet Trump at the demilitarized zone for a handshake and to say hello.
I'll be at the border. It's certainly... We seem to get along very well.
Trump says no one should scoff at that.
It's good to get along because, frankly, if I didn't become president, you'd be right now in a war with North Korea.
The two leaders held a summit earlier this year in Vietnam, but it collapsed without any agreement on denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Republican lawmakers returned to the Oregon Senate today, ending an acrimonious 9-day walkout over a carbon emissions bill. The boycott had escalated when the Democratic governor there ordered the state police to find and return the rogue Republicans to the Senate so the chamber could convene. Vote today was 17-10 on the outcome. That now sends the climate proposal back to committee, essentially killing it for the current session. A federal judge blocks Monday's planned groundbreaking for new U.S.-Mexico border wall construction.
Not only does U.S. District Judge Haywood Gilliam's order make permanent an earlier injunction that had barred the Trump administration from breaking ground on a pair of projects in Arizona and New Mexico, it extended the order to four more proposed construction sites in Arizona and California. The ruling late Friday is almost certain to be challenged by President Trump, as was Gilliam's May injunction.
Correspondent George Manzani reporting. Leaders of the Evangelical Covenant Church voted to defrock a Minneapolis pastor and expel his church for permitting same-sex marriage. Read more news, get more analysis, both at townhall.com.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the three-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks, that's the beauty of it, whether it works. They don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they will send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments. And it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. ReliefFactor.com.
North Carolina labor officials have cited an animal sanctuary for safety violations after a lion fatally mauled a 22-year-old intern last December.
The State Occupational Safety and Health Division issued a citation for three serious violations to the Conservator Center. Because Alexander Black was an unpaid intern, the division could not issue a direct citation for her death. Officials issued a citation after determining that other employees were exposed to hazards, In an investigation following Black's death, the division found that the center had ineffective procedures to secure dangerous animals. It did not do adequate inspections and maintenance on animal enclosures. Patrick Frost reporting.
Birthdays today, movie producer Robert Evans turns 89. Actor Gary Busey is 75. Comedian Richard Lewis is 72. Actor turned politician turned radio personality Fred Grandy from Love Boat is 71. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Family physician Dr. Charles Snyderman tells us how coffee might produce weight loss.
The body has two kinds of fat, yellow and brown. Yellow is for storage of excess calories and is a marker for obesity-related diseases. Brown fat is good. It burns energy and produces heat. Brown fat cells burn more calories when stimulated by caffeine. This may explain why coffee consumption is associated with modest weight loss. Charles Snyderman in Washington.
American Airlines mechanics are defying a court order, says the Home Office. And they says that continues delays that are disrupting summer flights. The unions, meanwhile, say Americans at fault for walking away from contract talks, leading to low morale among the workers. Americans' lawsuit against two unions over an alleged work slowdown goes to trial on Monday. Find more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Mako is back with another great deal, giving your car that shiny new Mako makeover. They're having a tax time special. Get 33% off a standard paint package. Bring your tax refund to Mako and make that faded, scratched, and weathered paint job look great again at affordable prices. Get quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Mako Warranty. Mako accepts all insurance and offers financing OAC with interest-free loans for up to a year. Come in today for a free estimate. Mako, America's Body Shop, on Crossroads Drive or MakoReading.com. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Pop Tech Radio. I am Mike Etchart. I hope you're having a great day, because today we are talking video games. After the big E3 event here in Los Angeles, we're going to talk about what's going on in that industry. The E3, of course, is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It was the big trade-only event up until a couple of years ago. I was actually at the first E3 back in 1995 when I was in the gaming industry. Back then, the gaming industry was exclusively CD-ROMs. And I worked at the time, in fact, I worked at Warner Brothers at that time. And that was when another one of the awkward forays from major entertainment companies into the gaming industry that would happen from time to time. And back in 95 or so, there was a ton of them. I actually worked in the music business, and of course, CD-ROMs were manufactured at the same place that music CDs were, and they had big distribution companies, so it made sense for them to jump into the CD-ROM business, and for a while they did, and then they jumped out. They were not successful particularly. You know, it was one of the many times that the major movie studios or music companies really wanted to get into gaming in some capacity, in some way. They thought they knew how to do it, and they could probably do it better. And, in fact, they oftentimes could not. But that was the first E3 back in 1995. The gaming industry was represented at the old Comdex, which was a more of a computer-oriented trade show that was back in Vegas in the late 80s and into the 90s. And then they kind of did their own, and E3 was gigantic. It was really crazy. There was a lot of money at that time going into the industry and into these trade shows. But, of course, at that time,
trade shows were only for people in the industry, but it was also for the buyers, because that was at a time that it was pre-internet sales, and it was all happening at brick-and-mortar stores. And so that was one of the events that buyers would come to, look at the new products, and they would put their orders in, and that really was the engine that drove that particular convention. And then and now, it was a hit-driven business, and it was fun, and it was exciting, and it was raucous. Because back then in those days, the company spent millions of dollars on those events, from booth space to big industry parties they would have afterwards. And a lot of the gaming companies were also owned by major movie studios at the time, or had relationships with them, or the hardware companies were also kind of involved, like Sony. And so you had lots of these, again, these big after parties for industry people that would have bands like Aerosmith play at them, and they would spend millions of dollars on the event. And for many years, that's the way E3 went. And at some point, it was so expensive for these companies to show at E3, they all kind of got together and said, what are we doing? It's an arms race, and we are competing on who has the biggest and the loudest booth, who has the biggest and the most expensive party, and we are taking our eye off the ball and devoting all this energy to these trade shows when we really want to be developing games. And so a bunch of people that year, whatever year that was, I think it was the early 2000s, maybe mid-2000s, they said, we're not going to do it. And they didn't go. And so for a couple of years, E3 disappeared. Then it kind of came back as more of a developers-only event. It was a real small event. All of the E3 started in, we were all mostly in L.A., And then when it kind of came back in a smaller version, it was actually at the Santa Monica Airport, a little municipal airport here in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area. Then it kind of got bigger again, but now it's kind of medium size. But, of course, everything has changed in the gaming industry. It's not really a brick-and-mortar business anymore. It's mail order. It's downloading. It's cloud-based. So even E3 is evolving. It's now kind of a hybrid show. Part of the day it is people in the industry, and then the last part of the day it's just for folks that have bought tickets to get in. So it's still a pretty great event. There's still a lot of things that are introduced there and announced there, and that is what we're going to talk about today. What happened at E3? What should we be paying attention to? What are the upcoming games that are really exciting? And on the tech side, what's going on the backside of games? Are we still going to have consoles around in a few years? Is it all going cloud-based, virtual reality, all of that stuff? So stick with us, because we are talking post-E3 wrap-up and games on Pop Tech Radio when we come right back.
Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower. Dodge Challenger Hellcat Red Eye, with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque. And the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Warrants large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Kia Soul, what started as an icon, has evolved into a whole new species. The Soul X line specializes in adventure with a nasty case of restless car syndrome. The high-minded Soul EX is dressed up and kitted out with more tech than we can mention here. And the Soul GT Line Turbo is a true apex predator with a turbocharged drive to defy. The new species of Soul, the 2020 Soul. Give it everything.
The big news from Subaru is the three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Hi, I'm Danny Lifford with Today's Homeowner. Well, it's summertime, time to get outside and really enjoy your outdoor living space. But it all starts with cleaning it thoroughly, making sure all of your furniture, your deck, your patio, whatever you have is nice and clean. But in the course of cleaning it, you may find the need for a few repairs. That's exactly what happened to us on helping some homeowners recently with a wood deck. We found that the wood decking was really in bad shape and needed to be replaced. So we removed all of it and replaced it with something that'll require almost no maintenance at all. It's Trex Enhanced Composite Decking and really turned out nice. Now, when you're looking out on your yard, you want your yard to look good as well. So get an arsenal of tools that's available at the Home Depot from our friends at Ames. You might be surprised all the tools that are available to make sure you have the best looking yard on the block. And it'll make it a lot easier to get it that way. You can find out more by going to todayshomeowner.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Pop Tech Radio. I am Mike Etchart. We are talking games today. We are talking E3 stuff, and really nice to have an old friend of mine come on the show. He is Cheyenne Decker. He's the owner and director of Gameplay Productions and a longtime veteran of the gaming industry. And in fact, he used to come on my show back when it was Sound and Vision Radio a long time ago. But Cheyenne, good to have you on the show. How are you today?
I am doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's my pleasure. My pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about this wacky thing called E3. It is now over, thankfully. And, you know, we're kind of looking, as the dust is settling, kind of reviewing the news that came out of it. And, you know, one of the interesting things I do want to mention and talk about, and I kind of alluded to this in the first segment, which is the evolution or de-evolution of E3. You know, it used to be trade only. You had to be, you know, either a member of the media or a buyer or somebody in the industry of another company. You know, now it's kind of half and half. It's trade only for part of the day, and then they open it up to consumers. You know, are we going to kind of see the end of trade only shows as we used to know it? Is that thing in the past now? And maybe will E3 be only consumers in the future? Is this the end of that old era?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think we've already passed that line. I think it's definitely moving more towards consumers. I mean, to your point in your first section, it's, you know, E3 has come a long way to kind of get to where it was. And originally, the industry was really trying to, you know, find its legs and figure things out as it was growing. And as you can see now, in a pretty short amount of time, how large the gaming industry is and how much money is being put into that. And it's international. You have, you know, just so many people involved in it now that a lot of consumers want to go to these events. They want to dress up a character. They want to, you know, talk to development panels and the whole thing. So it's interesting to see how it's moved. At the same time, to actually go to some of these events is extremely expensive for a company.
Yes.
You know, you look at Microsoft booth or Sony's or something like that from past years, they might be paying millions of dollars. Whereas now, because the industry is really opened, you have things like streamers or influencers on YouTube where a studio can pay one of those guys a fraction of that cost to directly get to consumers. So you're really seeing the way that marketing and everything's shifting right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in the first segment, I talked about my early years at E3 when I was actually working for a game developer, and that was the era of brick and mortar, and that was a big part of trade shows. It was all about the sales, and you met with the buyers, and you talked about the release date and how many orders, and they put their orders in, actually. And, you know, we're seeing this not only in gaming, but we go to the Consumer Electronics Show, we go to the NAMM show for musical instruments and tech for the music world, and everybody in all industries is kind of asking themselves the same question, which is, this is a lot of money. Is it worth it? Are we getting, you know, a return on investment? And, you know, not only do you have to buy the booth space, obviously, at these trade shows, but, of course, you got to fly in your people. You are putting them up for a good week. It's really expensive, and it's really a lot of stuff. And then the thing I also wanted to bring up, you know, you've worked on the development side for a long time. You know, you're cranking through these games, and suddenly you're devoting a ton of resources to making demos that are meant to be shown at an event like this. And, you know, talk a little bit about that. That is not an insignificant commitment, is it, to make demos?
No, not at all. So I really worked on more like the media marketing side of a lot of studios. So I would really get to look at the entire development process. And so when a studio tries to go to one of these events, not only are they putting up a lot of money, and a lot of game studios, you know, are tight on budgets in a lot of cases, but they actually have to create a specific demo or a piece of media like a video for that event, which takes away more money and time from your development team. So when you see these big stage demos like Cyberpunk 2077, where they brought out Keanu Reeves, which was a great announcement, love that. But, you know, that studio might have spent, who knows, a month or two to actually pull that whole demo together, which is great for marketing, but it's pulling away from the actual game development that's happening at the time.
Yeah.
And so people don't realize that game that's being played with trying to create the best game, but then trying to market it and make it look great.
Yeah. Well, and we used to have a funny line in the development business in games when I was there, which was, you know, the first 90% of game development takes 90% of your time and resources, and the last 10% takes the other 90% of your resources and time. You know, it's that last 10% or whatever that number is such a grind, and you've got deadlines looming, and you know that going into any game development. And then somewhere in the middle, if you suddenly have to insert whatever you need for trade shows, that just messes it up, and that puts more pressure on the team, doesn't it? It's ugly.
Yeah, it does, which is why I think you're also seeing some of these shifts, you know? Like, for example, Apex Legends, which is a very, very popular game made by Respawn, published by Electronic Arts. That game came out of nowhere. They didn't really announce it. They didn't tease it. They just hot launched it. And there was a couple interesting things they did. They basically just went to one of the biggest streamers, Ninja, or Shroud, and maybe Dr. Disrespect. I can't remember all the people they used, but they just paid them like $1 million. Like, just play this game for a day and have fun and just show all of your viewers how fun this game is, right? They did that, and that game grew faster than any game in history.
Wow.
Up to like 50 million or whatever. I mean, it grew so fast they just couldn't keep up with trying to maintain it. I mean, they're catching up now. They just announced a season 2 for the game. But it's really interesting. It's just a different marketing approach, and it just takes effect instantly.
It is. All right. On that note, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Pop Tech Radio, talking to Cheyenne Decker about games, and we are coming right back.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled. Then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Popular Technology Radio, your source for the latest emerging tech and hot internet trends. Now, here's your host.
And we're back. Pop Tech Radio, Mike Etchart, my good friend Cheyenne Decker on the line, veteran gaming industry. And, of course, he's the owner and director of Gameplay Productions. We are talking about E3. We're talking about games. In the last segment, Cheyenne, we were talking about the popularity of games. And the gaming industry, like every industry in media, is hit-driven. But the gaming industry is so brutal. If you're making a movie, there's so many different outlets. It can actually kind of not do well at the box office. Sometimes it finds another life in rentals or in streaming services. And it seems it's either a hit or a flop, right? There's really not a lot of middle ground for any game. Is it still that way, or is it?
It's getting more brutal because, you know, you're seeing more competition. There's more people in the industry. It's a lot more worldwide. And, you know, when you look at, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but like on iPhone alone, for mobile games, there's like over 3,000 games that are released every month. Some of those are tests and little things and whatever, but I mean, there's only so many people on the planet, so you're really just trying to cast this big net and see what you can get. But to your point with the movies, it is interesting with games because there is this philosophical change that sort of happened with marketing, where movies is a good example, right? Like, movies are hour and a half, 2 hours long. There's a certain genre. Maybe you like a horror movie. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe you like this action movie, whatever. But it's this couple-hour experience. Whereas games, the way it's moved now, they're kind of being sold to people like, look, this is the end-all, be-all piece of entertainment. It has everything, and you should just be here all the time.
Right.
You know, whereas games 10 years ago were like, hey, we have this experience, check it out. There's other good games too. Just it's transitioned to like, nope, this is it. This is the end all be all.
Right. And it's a larger commitment financially, typically. You know, a lot of games are, let's say, $50-$60, whereas depending on how you're watching a movie, it's much less of a commitment. But on the other side, the production costs of games, just like everything, continues to escalate. And so the commitment that a developer and a publisher has to make is enormous. And I guess if you have 1 in 3 games that's successful and you're a publisher and you're a developer, you're a superstar, right? It's really hard, and which is why also in gaming, like in movies, it's all about the sequels. Huh? It's all about the franchises.
Yeah. I mean, you've been watching this, obviously, over movies and TV especially right now, but games as well. It's like they create a formula, and they're like, oh, this has been successful. Let's just do this over again. You know, like, look at every sport game or your Call of Duties or whatever. It's like they just add a new skin on every year with a couple tweaks of the features. But, you know, people are used to that. That's what they think they like. And so they just keep buying the same sorts of products.
And then you alluded to this, I think, earlier. You know, Keanu Reeves made an appearance. The gaming industry, the road is littered with various intrusions, shall we say, of the conventional entertainment business, shall we say, the movie business, the television business, and usually to bad results. But however, there's, you know, when you look at a lot of the main filmmakers now, you know, just because as time has passed, most of them, many of them, all of them grew up as gamers. And so we're again seeing the kind of the marriage, I suppose, of movies and games. Is it better now than it used to be? Because it didn't used to ever work that well.
That's a good way to put it, the marriage between them. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to note, like, a lot of these big directors, like Spielberg, Peter Jackson, there's been others, they've kind of started side game studios that are doing research and dev into augmented reality and virtual reality and just different ways to present storytelling. I think the problem with gaming was the technology. We really didn't have the technology to do facial scanning and motion capture like we do now. And when you see, you know, an in-game engine demo of, like, Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077, and, you know, there's lots of games now, Death Stranding, you know, with using Norman Reedus from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you have all these technology now to really simulate human movement, mm-hmm. and a lot of it was human facial expression. And since we can match that now you're seeing all these movie directors and, you know, publishers and money kind of moving into the space of like, oh, wow, we could we can do interactive storytelling now. Wow. And you're going to start seeing that change more and more.
Well, but it's still, you know, the other times that there's always kind of been this sort of forced shotgun marriage, shall we say, of this, you know, it's been, it was always like, well, you know, we had a successful Spider-Man movie, so of course we're going to do a Spider-Man game, and we expect that to be as successful as the Spider-Man movie. Rarely did that ever work, you know, so at least it seems like...
yeah.
Hollywood has kind of moved away from that notion, or maybe they're still doing that to a certain extent, but I don't think still is working very well in terms of success. But it seems like at least Hollywood now is recognizing that they are two different mediums, and that's that. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it before was experimentation and just not knowing how to proceed. You know, they would be like, oh, let's make a Spider-Man game, but they'd only give a studio a year to develop that, you know? So you're not going to create maybe a great product for what you're hoping. So their plans and how they're approaching things have you know, become more in line with what the market's asking for.
With reality. And on that note, we shall take a very quick break. You're listening to PopTech Radio. We are talking games and talking E3, so stick with us because we are coming right back.
Can't get enough? Listen to more episodes and check out our blog on poptechradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Haven Humane Society will be holding our annual Pup for Paws Golf Tournament on July 12th at the beautiful Riverview Golf and Country Club. This fabulous four-person scramble will tee off at 9 a.m. There will be an awards lunch, raffles, prizes, and so much more. Sign up your four-man team today for only $400, or single players are only $100, with all proceeds going to help the animals at Haven Humane Society. We will see you on the green.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
PopTech Radio, Mike at Chart with my good friend Cheyenne Decker. He, of course, veteran gaming industry executive. He's the owner and director of Gameplay Productions. We are talking E3. We are talking games. We are talking what should we be excited about. So, Mr. Decker, as you are saving your pennies for certain games that might be coming out this year, at the end of this year, perhaps, what after E3, what has you excited? What are you fired up about in terms of games that are coming?
Ooh, I'd have to say Cyberpunk 2077 has to be at the top of my list.
Okay,
I really like the world and the story that they've built around that. If you've ever followed the tabletop game,
okay.
And if you know CD Projekt Red, who made The Witcher 3, who's developing this game, they make some pretty complicated epic games that really raise the bar. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do with this one. Plus they got Keanu Reeves, which I thought was a really good snag for them, considering he is such a major superstar right now. So that'll be really interesting.
Now, does that matter? Let's say they didn't get Keanu Reeves. Let's say they just got somebody, and would it have been less successful by a little, by a lot, or would it maybe not have even?
I don't. To be honest with you, I think the game was already so hyped and had so much behind it already that I don't know if it really would have made a crazy difference.
Yeah.
But I think it's just that cherry on top.
Right.
Well, if anyone was on the fence, they might be like, okay, let's just see what they did with this.
There you go. Okay. And I think that's coming out. That's coming out next year, right? That's not going to make it at the end of this year. I think it's coming out in April of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically all the best games are going to be coming out in the next year or two. You're really seeing a big console transition period right now, so.
Well, and I wanted to talk about
interesting.
It. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's funny, as I might have mentioned in this first time, I came of, in my gaming industry years, was basically CD-ROM games just in the transition to console games. And now we're coming on, that's kind of being reversed. And I assume we're not going to see the end of console games for a very long time. But are the best days for console games behind them?
It depends on how you're trying to frame that question. I believe that we are definitely moving away from consoles and hardware entirely.
Right.
I think Microsoft and Sony, they will have another console. But I think moving forward from there, I think it'll probably all go cloud computing just because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is why you're seeing stuff like Google Stadia. There's lots of streaming services that are being worked on right now from a number of things. So it'll be interesting to see how that transitions, because that also lines up with 5G technology coming out, which will really allow, digital transfer to just take a huge leap and bound.
We hope. Yeah. But also for these console game companies, that's a big revenue source for them, having these proprietary consoles and kind of overseeing the manufacturing and the license, those profits that they enjoy currently from that. So this transition,
right?
That's going to be that they're going to take a hit on their bottom line, aren't they?
I just don't think they have a choice. I think it's almost like the E3 example before. It's like originally when gaming was coming up, and you had these big publishers trying to get out there, they could only go to E3. There was like one main convention in a way for them to go and market.
Yeah.
Just like if you were a console developer or game developer and you wanted to, be on consoles, well, you had to be on, Sony or Microsoft or maybe Sega or Nintendo, whatever the competitors were. But they were closed off marketplaces, It was like a winner take all. Whereas everything's moving to more open source. More of like an open source streaming service per se. And it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so you were liking Cyberpunk 2077. What else has you really fired up?
Ooh, Death Stranding.
Okay.
Looks incredible. Even though I don't know if anyone knows what the game's actually about. I think that's part of the mystery. But
right.
That game's incredible. it'll be interesting to see what they do with the next Halo. Yeah. I have a long relationship with Halo.
This is Halo Infinite.
Halo Infinite, yeah. That's going to be on the next console.
Okay.
Which will be 4 times more powerful than this one. So it'll be interesting to see what they can push, because I assume that these consoles are probably going to have some sort of cloud computing that's going to also help to push and power them. So it'll allow game development engines to really kind of push the boundaries.
Right.
So, yeah, Halo Infinite looks interesting. Gears 5 looks possibly pretty good.
Gears of War.
Borderlands. Yeah, Gears of War 5.
Yes, and Halo Infinite, how many Halos have there been? I seem to have lost count.
10 of them.
Infinite number.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head. They've had a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah.
And if you want to consider, like, their RTS games and mobile games a part of that, too.
Right.
They've saturated it.
Yeah. Let's talk about, too, I always kind of think of, there's the gaming industry and there's Nintendo. They're kind of their own little island to me. They've always kind of, I don't know if I explain it right, but they kind of march to a different drummer, for lack of a better word.
They're very experimental, yes. That's
yes,
true.
There you go.
It pays off.
It does, and it has, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Nintendo, because Nintendo was there. If you look into your crystal ball, and how does the future for our friends at Nintendo look?
Ooh, it's going to be interesting. Like I was kind of mentioning, everything's sort of moving towards this cloud computing, because that's where all the power and infrastructure is going to come from to power, the next generation of gaming and digital entertainment. There are really only 3 companies in the world that have the infrastructure to do this. That's Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, which is why you're seeing Google Stadia, because they're now like, okay, we have the infrastructure and the tech to attempt this. Microsoft was trying to do that the last console generation, kind of move that route, but the community didn't quite understand, and I think there was just so much pushback, it made them change their plans. But at the end of the day, there's really only a couple companies that have the server and internet infrastructure to actually do cloud computing correctly, which is why you're seeing someone like Sony partnering with Microsoft, because they cannot provide their own cloud servers for their future infrastructure,
right.
So they had to partner. And so I feel like Nintendo is going to be put in the same spot. They're going to have to partner with one of those 3 companies. I think Microsoft knows that, and they've been working on a relationship with Nintendo for a little while now. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some other announcement from Nintendo that they're going to do the same thing as Sony is and partner with Microsoft.
Now,
that being said, who knows?
All right. On that note, we got to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Pop Tech Radio. Mike Etchart with my friend Cheyenne Decker. We are talking games, and we are coming back after these words.
Be thankful I don't take it all.
It's Dodge Performance Days, where that new car smell gets replaced by the scent of burned rubber. With Dodge Charger and its available best-in-class 485 horsepower. Dodge Challenger Hellcat Redeye, with up to 797 horsepower and 707 pound-feet of torque. And the powerful 7-passenger Dodge Durango. Hurry in for great deals now at Dodge Performance Days. Warrants large regular car vehicle segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. The big news from Subaru is the 3-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has interior space you need for your whole crew. and it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Kia Soul, what started as an icon, has evolved into a whole new species. The Soul X line specializes in adventure with a nasty case of restless car syndrome. The high-minded Soul EX is dressed up and kitted out with more tech than we can mention here. And the Soul GT Line Turbo is a true apex predator with a turbocharged drive to defy. The new species of Soul, the 2020 Soul. Give it everything.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Radio, Mike Etchart, Cheyenne Decker, veteran gaming industry exec, and of course he is the owner and director at Gameplay Productions. I'm bringing in Cody Castleberry, my producer, because we are talking games, we're talking the post-E3 stuff, and gentlemen, I want to ask you this. We were just talking about the three big powerhouses that will likely kind of be at the head of the table when it comes to these cloud game services. That would be Google, that would be Amazon, and that would be Microsoft. Sony and Microsoft are pairing up. We were just kind of discussing who Nintendo would go with. Would they go with where everybody else is going, or would they go someplace else? But is there room for three is the question. Between, let's say, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft all launch something, which they are likely doing, if not already for sure doing. Is there room for three?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at it the same way of like, well, how many subscriptions do you currently have? Do you subscribe to Hulu, Netflix, Spotify, you know, go down the list?
Darn.
I think the gaming industry is looking at it that way.
But you're stealing my thunder, though, because everybody now at the end of this year will have, because, you know, at least for me, I'm Netflix and Amazon and HBO from time to time. But suddenly, on the television side of things, there's going to be something from Warner Brothers. There's going to be this new Disney Plus. There's going
right.
to, you know, all of so even on the TV side, we're going to have lots yep. more choices by the end of the year. And yeah, and I think three is the magic number that I will personally have. I'll only have three for those things. But gamers are a little more crazy, would one say, in terms of their passion for games.
Yeah.
Well, I think someone that wants to play games that Sony and Microsoft have is generally a different type of gamer than the one that wants to play Nintendo. I mean, there is some cross-section there. There's people that like both, but I would say that it to me, it feels pretty safe for, you know, you got to throw in your lot anyway. Yeah, you know, unless you're just going to back out and surrender the market, you would make an attempt to differentiate yourself. Like in the TV industry, where you have people having to pick and choose now, you would just have gamers picking and choosing.
But that's, yeah, so back to Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you're a Nintendo, then who do you, if again, Cheyenne, I'm asking you to put your crystal ball on, and everybody's crystal ball is a little foggy when it comes to this stuff. You know, who do you think they're going to go with the Microsoft relationship, or are they going to kind of forge their own deal?
I mean, Nintendo's interesting because they're kind of a wild card, you know? Like, when they came out with the Switch, if I remember right, people were like, is that going to work? And now all of a sudden it's like one of their highest selling systems ever. So I don't know. Maybe they don't go the cloud computing route. But with 5G technology around the corner and everything else, it seems like they're going to have to do that. And I think Microsoft and Sony and probably Nintendo are aware of the amount of resources and infrastructure that, you know, Amazon and Google have, and that if they actually come out with a console and try to go for it, that they actually might beat them. So I could see Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo being like, well, hey, like, let's just partner. We have all these games. We have all these IPs. Let's just create the ultimate gaming service and never allow these guys into the industry.
Right. Wow.
Because that's what it's going to come down to. And Facebook, like, don't count Facebook out either. Facebook has gone through massive hiring for Oculus and for their whole infrastructure, and they are working on coming out with probably their own service as well.
Oh, boy.
So it's going to be interesting. And then we're not even talking China. I mean, Tencent, Alibaba, who own a lot of stakes in a lot of the companies here, like, they have a huge hand in the gaming industry. If they launch worldwide services, all of a sudden they're in it too. So it's going to be interesting moving forward in the gaming industry for consumers. But at the end of the day, content is king. If you want to play a game and it's only on one service, well, you're going to pay for that service.
That's right. If you're passionate about that game. And as I'm looking at Nintendo's titles, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. We are still talking about The Legend of Zelda. And when did that title first come out? Talk about longevity. But that's the gaming industry, right? It's all about franchises and titles you know.
Nostalgia.
That's exactly right. Nostalgia, of course. It's all about nostalgia. And on that note, we do need to take a quick commercial break. You, of course, are listening to Pop Tech Radio. We are talking games. We are talking E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, the event that just kind of ended here in Los Angeles, what the news was from that, and, of course, what's going on in the industry at large. We've got more when we come back. It's Pop Tech Radio.
Can't get enough? Listen to more episodes and check out our blog on poptechradio.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Thank you.
We're back. It's PopTech Radio. Mike Etchart, Cheyenne Decker, veteran gaming industry and the owner and director of Gameplay Productions. I should say veteran gaming industry executive. And my good friend Cody Castleberry, who is our producer on the show and also an avid gamer. And guys, I'm going to give you each in this last segment. I need the two games that we haven't talked about that you are super excited about. So, Cody, give me your two. After E3, what did you hear and read about and see that you were fired up about?
Well, first, Doom Eternal. The soundtrack for that is what really... I'm a metalhead, too, in addition to a gamer.
So Doom
Eternal. Two strikes against my record if I were in the dating pool. But the soundtrack is done by this Australian composer who's really good, and he kind of combines really aggressive-sounding guitars with electronic sounds that he finds unique ways of making. The way he got his guitar tone is he took a chainsaw and recorded that and made that sort of the underlying bed for his guitar tone.
Unique in that music matters to you, that you would go and whoever did the soundtrack is part of the equation with which
it's pretty much exclusive to this game. Yeah, it's
okay.
There's no other game that really the soundtrack hypes me up about. And he also he got a choir of people to send in samples of themselves doing metal screams, and he's calling it his metal choir.
you're making me not want to play this game. Just so you know.
It's pretty intense. It's the music matches the intensity of the video game. It's a not safe for children game.
Okay, and by the way, we are talking about Doom, a game that came out in 1993, right?
Yes, the continuation of that, which back then they also had a pretty metal soundtrack for as much as it could be in MIDI.
Right, as much as it could be. Okay, Doom Eternal, and what's your second one?
Death Stranding, we already talked about it a little bit, but yes. I'm a huge fan of Hideo Kojima. I've played all the Metal Gear games that have made their way to America, and... like Cheyenne said, the story is anyone's guess right now. No one knows what's happening.
Yet you're excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's just the way that they've portrayed it in the trailers gives you enough so that you're curious, but not so much that you already know what's happening.
All right. Okay, Cheyenne, what are your two besides the ones we've spoken
about? Well, you know I like Cyberpunk. That's probably my number one, but I think two that should be mentioned is... they're going to do a sequel to Zelda Breath of the Wild, which, if you've never played that, is probably reason enough to buy a Switch. It is quite a masterpiece in design. And then I'd have to go maybe with a Final Fantasy VII remake. I'm on the fence with some of their changes to see if it's better, but that game has a special place in my heart, and I hope that they pull it off.
And this is a remake, and what does that really mean in gaming?
That can mean anything, really. It kind of depends, because studios might remaster things almost identical with just some graphical changes and some minor tweaks. Uh-huh. And other times, like you're seeing in Final Fantasy VII, instead of it being, you know, this turn-based combat style, they've kind of kept with what their current live-action sort of combo flow system is with, like, the last Final Fantasy they had.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's...
So it'll be interesting to see where it goes, but that game was a really big deal for RPGs in America. It was the first real RPG that really hit it big here in the West, and it really kind of opened up the gaming markets in different ways.
Yeah, and this being kind of as we talked about, the Me Too industry, and I think the first Final Fantasy came out back in 1987. So we're talking again with 1987, 1993. These are games that continue to be repurposed and sequelized, and like the movie business, right? You know, we're seeing a reboot of the Batman franchise at Warner Brothers again, and people love what they love, and they keep coming back. And on that note, we got to wrap it up. So the big thanks to Cheyenne Decker. Cheyenne, thanks for coming on. We're going to do this again.
Pleasure to be here.
Are we going to?
Yeah, we'll definitely have you.
All right. We're looking forward to that. And Cody Castleberry is my producer and engineer, and he helps me make this show every week. Without him, I could not do it. I also want to send out big thanks to Radio America. They are our syndicator. They help get us to all the great stations across this country, Mike Paradiso and Jenny Dietas in Washington, D.C. And don't forget, we are podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple iTunes, which is, happens to be where I get my podcast. We are there if you want to go back and revisit some of our earlier episodes for different topics and stuff. That is where you will find us. I want to thank everyone for listening in today. We will be back, as we always are, next week. You've been listening to PopTech Radio. I'm Mike Etchart. Thanks for joining us. Have a safe week, and we will see you next time.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals.